Last time on This Week in Geek, Vegeta had his sights squarely upon Mike the Birdman Dodd. Can maximum nerdosity win against the Prince of All Saiyans? Find out at thisweekingeek.net.
Listening to the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Saturday, April 4th, 2015. And have you ever had a conversation on Facebook make you shake your head so goddamn hard you have whiplash? That's my conversation today. Holy crap. Some people, man, I'll tell you. But I do apologize for being away last week. Felt terrible, truthfully. Had no voice, just was feeling like utter garbage. More or less back to normal today, but I have a lot of really cool things to talk to you guys about. I have a review from Anchor Bay for Wolf Cop, a Canadian production. I'll be doing that at the end of the show, but I'm going to be talking to you about mysterious radio signals that could possibly be from E.T., a classic show maybe coming back to television, and one you may not necessarily be expecting. And a porno parody you knew had to come at some point. There's a joke in there. We're also going to find out more about the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool movie, which is currently filming in Vancouver. And finally, we're going to talk about Skynet finally becoming so self-aware, it drove itself across the United States. Okay, well, let's begin with my first story. I think this one is really cool. And this comes to us courtesy of the International Business Times. Evidently, Earth has been receiving mysterious radio signals from outer space, an alien life form could possibly be responsible for it. Now, obviously, take this with a grain of salt, but hear me out. I'm actually going to read you the story as it is printed, just so I don't get anything wrong here. Is it possible that Earth is receiving signals from outer space which could possibly be of some extraterrestrial life source? A new research paper has not ruled out this possibility. The paper, dated 30 March 2015, is titled Discrete Steps in Dispersion Measures of Fast Radio Bursts. It explores the origin behind recent radio signals from space and considers an artificial source, human or non-human, as a possible source. Fast radio burst, or FRB, is one of the many phenomena occurring in space. These radio signals are extremely fast, lasting about a millisecond, giving off as much energy as the sun does in one day, according to Global News. And just this year, one of these FRBs was seen in action for the first time. In order to figure out how far these FRBs travel, astronomers use something called dispersion measurement, or DM. The farther the signal has come, the bigger the DM. The new research paper has discovered that 10 of these FRBs travel in multiples of 1.87.5 centimeters. This would suggest that each one came from a separate source, regularly spaced distances from Earth. We're talking billions of kilometers away, of course, states the GN report. The paper concludes that there is a 5 in 10,000 probability that the lineup of these signals is coincidental. The authors say that it's unlikely that the source of these regularly spaced FRBs are from another galaxy, as the dust between the distances would mess up that regular spacing. It could be within our own galaxy, but they believe that would be most surprising. If both these options are or could be excluded, only an artificial human or non-human must be considered, particularly since most bursts have been observed in only one location. That's not to say they firmly believe the FRBs are of extraterrestrial origin, that they believe more research is needed. In an email to Global News, famed astronomer Jill Tarter of SETI, an institute dedicated to the search for extraterrestrial life in the universe, agreed to the possibility. Since the Lorimer Pulse in 2007, I've commented that these could be engineered signals. In my case, I've just wondered if the engineers were extraterrestrial. More data will tell us what the right interpretation is, she said. Well, I remember hearing about these things years and years ago. Like, she mentioned Lorimer pulses, and they've been observed for, like she said, since 2007. And the fact that these things are coming out of areas of space where either there's nothing there, or they're coming at a regularly spaced interval, that's a little weird. And if we're to believe that they could be extraterrestrial in origin, who's to say? But also looking at this as well, you have to wonder how far or how long ago this signal happened. I mean, I'm not an expert on this by any stretch of the imagination, but considering a 5 in 10,000 probability that these things are all coincidental, I'm not betting on those odds, all things considered. So who's to say? We're going to need, obviously, more advanced equipment to figure this out. We're going to need more observation. And who knows? Maybe with the X-Files reboot coming back this fall, maybe the truth really is out there. And I suppose we will find out sooner or later. I'm just hoping they're more of the ET sort and less of the Independence Day sort coming to kill us all. But hey, look how well that worked out for the Europeans and natives back in the, 1600s. Worked out real well for my people. Sorry, folks. It's a little bit of humor. It's okay. All right, moving on. So, an interesting piece of news that came up this week. I totally didn't expect this to happen. This comes to us from comicbook.com, but ABC is looking to bring back The Muppet Show. It's time, again, to play the music and light the lights as ABC Television is reviving The Muppet Show for a modern-day audience. With The Big Bang Theory's Bill Prady co-writing a script for a pilot presentation, the series will be presented before advertisers this May. If executives like what they see, The Muppets reboot could then be fast-tracked with a straight-to-series order. Third Rock from the Sun's Bob Cuschel will also co-write the presentation, and Randall Einhorn will produce. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the concept would showcase the regular Muppets cast gathering outside the ABC studios looking to start a series revival, but must convince Miss Piggy to come on board before doing so. Created in 1995 by Jim Henson, the Muppets include iconic pop culture characters such as Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and more. The franchise was eventually bought by Disney, who also owns ABC, and has expanded into animation, feature films, etc., etc. The Muppets were last on the screen last year in Muppets Most Wanted. You know what? This is really cool. And speaking of Muppet stuff, I was actually watching Vsauce today, Jake from Vsauce 3. And randomly, he's got Gonzo, Rizzo the Rat, Constantine the Frog. And it's really friggin' weird. It involves the concept of what would happen if Quicksilver ran past you. The short answer is, you're dead. You are surprisingly dead. But yeah, I think bringing the Muppets back is a great idea. We've seen all these old shows coming back, which everything old is new again. Fuck, we're getting a Coach reboot. Who the hell asked for that? I don't know. I'm personally holding out for Airwolf or Sliders if I had to reboot a series. But you know what? Muppets probably in my top 10. I thoroughly enjoyed the movies that have been out. I've always enjoyed the characters and to have them on the screen every week. I think a lot of people would honestly dig it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And moving on to other WTF news. As you guys know, I have a lot of friends in the adult industry. This is no thing. And one of the things that the adult industry is known for, more or less in the last couple of years, is adult porn parodies. We've had Axel Braun with the Batman 1966 one. We've had the Avengers, we've had Spider-Man, done to varying degrees of success and authenticity. Well, this latest one, coming to us from Wood Rocket, funny name, have decided to do Guardians of the Galaxy, now known as Nardians of the Galaxy. It's pretty screwed up. Highlights of this include Rocket Raccoon humping people's legs, Gamora, and Groot has turned into Groin. He's a giant. He's the universe's largest living dildo, as they call him. It stars April O'Neil, not the one from Ninja Turtles, although she plays Gamora, I think. And they turn Peter Quill into Pecker Quill, who's Star-Lord. And there's actually I'm actually going to embed the trailer here so you guys can see it. There's a pretty funny joke involving Tony Danza in there, I thought. It's more or less safe for work, although some of the jokes aren't. It's fucked up. There's nothing more I can really say about it, but they're Nardians of the Galaxy. It's, I don't know, man. As far as I know, I think you can watch this thing for near free if you want to bug over to Wood Rocket's website. I'll link the poster I found this down below. I'm not going to link directly to a porn site. But yeah, honestly, I like the look of Peter Quill. Rocket Raccoon is a dude in a furry costume, but it's hilarious. Their guy who's dressed up as Drax looks like a really amateur cosplayer, but at least the effort's there. And I really appreciate some of the porn spoofs for what they try to do. I don't know whether they ever did X-Men Days of Future Past. I'm guessing they'll do a Daredevil one at some point. I would imagine Axel Braun will probably be behind that one. But, I don't know. Here's the question of the week. What's the weirdest porn parody you've ever heard of? I'd say my vote goes to The Simpsons and Family Guy. That's just fucking out there, man. I got nothing for you. Moving on to my next story this week. As you guys know, April Fool's was this past week. But it's also been recently confirmed that the Deadpool movie's happening. Ryan Reynolds is starring. And a lot of people are really excited for this. However, though, there's been a lot of speculation that it was going to be rated PG-13. Obviously, you got to get asses in seats. You got to merchandise the hell out of it. And you can't necessarily do that with an R-rated movie. This is not the 1980s. However, Ryan Reynolds, in true style, done everything he possibly could to make sure, guys, don't worry, it's going to be rated R. He did a video with Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell as an extra entertainment reporter, and Deadpool kills him and says, guys, of course it's going to be fucking rated R. And you know what? I can't picture anybody else, honestly, donning the Deadpool costume. They actually showed a picture earlier of him on a bearskin rug in the Deadpool costume. And now that we've seen the video with him and Mario Lopez, we've now seen what the costume looks like in motion. And it looks amazing. In fact, there was actually a tweet or a quote from Rob Liefeld, the guy that created Deadpool, saying, Ryan Reynolds will be to Deadpool what Tony Stark Robert Downey Jr. is to Tony Stark and Iron Man. And it's true. It's just the way that Ryan Reynolds delivers the lines. It's that energy and that's that charisma with it. Or, you know, alternately, I also assume Nolan North for the voice, too, because I'm pretty sure he's done it on Spider-Man, the cartoons. But I think he also did it for Marvel vs. Capcom 3 as well. But still, I'm really looking forward to this. It comes out next year on Valentine's Day. So rather than seeing 50 Shades of What the Fuck Is This, we get Deadpool. It's going to be awesome. Morena Baccarin's in it. I don't know who the bad guy's supposed to be in it, though. They haven't announced anything about the plot, really. I imagine we'll find out who the bad guy's going to be sooner or later. And I think it's shared universe with the X-Men. I'm pretty sure. Well, yeah, I guess it would have to be. I don't know. Still, I'm looking forward to it. Ryan Reynolds, I fully trust you with this. So please, please do not disappoint me. I'm looking forward to this. Okay, and this is my last story this week. And this comes courtesy of Wired.com. This is really cool. An autonomous car drove across the country. I'm actually going to read you a chunk of the article here. And it says, 9 days after leaving San Francisco, a blue car packed with tech from a company you've probably never heard of rolled into New York City after crossing 15 states and 3,400 miles to make history. The car did 99% of the driving on its own, yielding to the carbon-based life form behind the wheel only when it was time to leave the highway and hit city streets. This amazing feat by the automotive supplier Delphi underscores the great leaps in this technology has taken in recent years and just how close it is to becoming a part of our lives. Yes, many regulatory and legislative questions must be answered, and it remains to be seen whether consumers are ready to see control of their cars, but the hardware is without a doubt up to the task. What's remarkable isn't the fact that Delphi completed this trip, but the fact that several companies already could have done it. Google, Audi, Mercedes would have had little trouble in handling this level of autonomous highway driving. The news here isn't that this is possible, that it was so easy. The technology is not what is most notable from this trip, says Jeff Miller, an associate professor at the University of Southern California, who works on autonomous driving. The fact is they drove as far as they did and had a lot of publicity will help the technology more than programming or any hardware on that vehicle. This is really, really, really cool. The fact that this has happened, pretty much autonomous vehicles more or less have been around for a long time, but it was back in 2004 when DARPA had this huge challenge where they had a vehicle complete a 150-mile course, the best any of the vehicles could do was 7.32 miles, and then that vehicle got, you know, it caught on fire. The following year, five vehicles did a 132-mile course, and it took 7 hours to do it. So the fact that this technology has come this far, that's a pretty huge deal. And for myself, I have a driver's license, though I don't use it a whole hell of a lot. But I like the idea of being able to get around. And if I could have a vehicle simply take me from point A to point B, I see this being a tremendous help to so many different industries. Imagine having this automated for pickups. Imagine literally having your enterprise rent-a-car come to your house to pick you up. Or a disabled person now can have their own vehicle and just have it programmed. I mean, obviously, there'd have to be some liability in there where if vehicle fails, you can do X. But you know what I'm saying. There's still a lot of hurdles to overcome. But the fact that this is happening, that's really, really impressive. I mean, we're literally one step away from having Johnny Cab from Total Recall and whatnot. I just think that's amazing. And I'm so excited to see where this technology comes. I imagine we'll have fully self-driving, reliable vehicles probably by 2022. All things considered, actually being a thing on the roads. I'm hoping, I'm optimistic. Like I said, I think this is super cool. Anyway, all right, so last bit on the show here, we're going to talk about an item I got sent for review coming to us from Anchor Bay, Canada. And I love cheesy movies. One of my favorite Canadian movies came out in the last couple of years, and it was called Hobo with a Shotgun, sort of this sort of B-horror movie grindhouse thing. And just recently, a movie came out, coming out of Saskatchewan, called Wolf Cop. Take that in for a minute. Wolf Cop. You've probably seen the trailers to this thing, because it's so ridiculously stupid that you can't not have heard of this. The tagline for this is, half man, half wolf, all cop. And it's literally about as stupid as it sounds, and don't let that be a deterrent for you. It's actually really freaking awesome. So it stars this cop named Lou, who's basically, he's a drunk, he's a loser, he's an idiot. But after running across some cultists in the wood, he basically gets turned into a werewolf. There's a meth lab, there's blood, there's gore, there's gunfights. It's about as stupid as you can make a movie, and you know it's uniquely Canadian. And I absolutely love it. The only complaint I have about this movie is that it's under an hour and a half long. It's really short. Although there's a really cool history behind this movie. There's actually a 45-minute making of documentary on this particular Blu-ray release that tells you how this thing started out as just a gag, and then eventually got funded by a Canadian competition. And then how it went across the country, did all these promotional tours. They even got the Trailer Park Boys involved in on this. And Wolfcock comes. It's a hashtag. Just trust me. Just go watch the special features on this. There's a filmmaker commentary. There's trailers. There's a music video for it. It's honestly, it's going to be one of those movies I think people are going to be talking about for a while. Because, like I said, it's so dumb and so Canadian that it can't help but be talked about in the same sentence as, I think, Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter was filmed in Ottawa, and it'll be talked in the same sentence as Hobo with a Shotgun, with these really weird B-movie plots, yet they're a ridiculous amount of fun. And I'm really glad this came out. I'd like to see this turn into a franchise. Hell, I'd love to see Wolf Cop team up with someone or have them do another sequel or something like that. But it may take away from the charm of this movie. But you know what? Ultimately, Wolf Cop, it's a lot of fun. I really think you guys should check it out. So you can find that from Anchor Bay, Canada. Should run you about $25. Totally worth it. Like I said, hashtag Wolfcock. I want Wolfcock, I think is what it is. Anyway, guys, like I said, sorry for the delay this week. It's just been hell of a week. Next week, we will be back on Friday. I'm going down to Toronto on the Saturday to record my first session for Terrible Warriors. I'm doing DC Adventures and something I call Days of Future Crisis. And then after that, I might be doing a Dragon Ball Z Sailor Moon crossover. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, guys, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.